Many Iowans remember Chuck Offenberger from the years he spent writing for the Des Moines Register as the Iowa Boy columnist. He's still writing. You can find his work on Offenberger.com and in various other places. And his wife, Carla Offenberger, is writing too. She's the community relations director at Greene County Medical Center. And these days, she's been writing about her latest experiences with cancer. Both Carla and Chuck are cancer survivors. Chuck has been through treatment three times, and Carla is now going through her third round. They've both been very open about their experiences, and they are with us on the line today. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you for being here today.
Glad to be joining you.
And hello, Carla.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I want to go back in time. And I know many Iowans followed along as both of you went through your first experiences or your first personal experiences with cancer. But take us back. Remind us what happened. Was it 9 years ago now, Chuck?
Going on 8 years ago.
Okay.
Now, Carla, we were on a bike ride in South Dakota with some good friends of ours, the Connollys, and I couldn't keep up, and I had an ankle puffed up, and it wouldn't go down, and so that started after 2 or 3 weeks of watching it and expecting it to go down, I went to my doc, and he said, well, let's run some lab work just for the heck of it, and it showed I was a little anemic. And that led to a CAT scan, and that led to finding a mass of non-Hodgkin's follicular lymphoma on my lower abdomen area. And that started me down, chemo, and eventually a year later for me, I guess I went through chemo that fall, and then by early 2010, I was cleared up and, feeling pretty good again and doing well. And then that's when, Carla, you jump in here. And
right at about that time, it was April of 2010. I think we'd say 2010 was our worst year. 2010, I found a lump in my throat and was diagnosed with adenoid cystic carcinoma, which is very rare, like 10,000 people in the country have it. And I had surgery. It was called a modified radical neck dissection, which sounds about as bad as it is from your middle of your throat to your ear, they cut open and they removed the tumor and my saliva glands. And that was in April of 2010. And then I finished radiation in July of 2010 for my throat. And it was a day or two after my last radiation treatment, Chuck got sick again. And that's when we found out that he had a more aggressive
That was large cell lymphoma, more aggressive and more dangerous. Carla had just been through 6 weeks of radiation, and so we were pretty much done in. And then, but I started aggressive chemo on that in August of 2010 into September, and it just wasn't working. And I can always remember my oncologist at the time, Dr. Michael Guffey, over in Ames, said, we just got to do something to get on top of this. And the blessing for me was that despite having cancer, I was otherwise in pretty good health. And that's been the case for Carla. And that led to him first exploring and then recommending me for a stem cell transplant at the University Hospitals in Iowa City. I was supervised by Dr. Roger Gingrich, who was the director there of the transplant unit. And let's see, Carla, we were there from November 8th until the Monday or Tuesday after Thanksgiving. And so about just, 3.5-4 weeks in kind of an isolated situation. And as they gave me, as they called it, big guns chemo to knock down my immune system, first they took out my stem cells. And luckily, they weren't cancerous. They could use those, and they knocked down my immune system and then replanted the clean stem cells and hoped they would bond.
Well, and people who've had family members go through that or who've gone through that themselves, they take you almost to the verge of death to bring you back.
That's right.
Our nurse, Scott, told us in Iowa City, it's really sort of anticlimactic, because they do take you down to, almost death, And then they simply card in this IV tube and hook it up and reinsert your cells, and that's it. You know, there's no fireworks. There's no big alarm. It's just, okay,
Scott Schroeder, that nurse, was really great in Iowa City, and he said, you know, it's kind of anticlimactic, but on the other hand, it's the biggest day of your life. Second chance.
We did that in late 2010, and then we really had a good run for it. We went till 2015, and I started having back pain in the summer at June, July, and I thought, oh, you're working too hard, you're gardening too hard, and just kind of let it, not really thinking my cancer would be back in my back. And then I got a stomach ache, and everyone I was talking to said, it's your gallbladder. So I went into my primary provider, Sarah Fleest, here in Jefferson at Unity Point Clinic, and I said, Sarah, I think we're going to have to take out my gallbladder. Everyone's telling me my stomach hurts with my gallbladder. And she says, well, with your history, I think we probably should do an ultrasound and maybe an MRI, and we'll just make sure it's your gallbladder. Well, it wasn't my gallbladder. I had tumors lined up in my pelvic area.
No, and this was your big one.
Oh,
in your
I'm
liver.
Sorry. Yes, I'm confused. See, it's happened so many times, I'm confused.
Oh.
Yes, it was my liver. I had cancer, had come back in the right side of my liver.
As a tumor, it wasn't?
As a tumor, yeah. And it just attached to that portion of my liver. So I went through, you know, adenoid cystic carcinoma doesn't really respond to chemotherapy. And the solution is normally always surgery first to remove it. So I had Dr. Matthew Hill, my oncologist, partner with liver specialists in Des Moines. And I had surgery then in Des Moines with Dr. Chaudhry, Qasim Chaudhry. Took 6 pounds of my liver out.
So 6 pounds with the tumor and then some of your liver.
Yeah.
That's enormous.
About 3/4 of my liver.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, the liver, your body is it's a miracle every day. It just repairs itself automatically. But the liver is one organ that does regrow. And so my liver has regrew and serves the needs I have for it. And then, so that was about a 7-week recovery last fall.
That was a very invasive surgery, as you can imagine, Charity. I mean, they had to open up Carla across her stomach, you know. So that was tough.
Yeah, it was a tough haul. So that was last fall in October, November. The surgery was in September. I went back to work about the middle of November.
And that would be 2015.
And then I just do 3-month checkups. In 2016, I just go every 3 months and get a checkup, and it was in December of 2016 that I went for my final 3-month checkup after a year of doing that every 3 months. And Dr. Hill said, "Carla, I'm afraid we see something on your liver." And so then he ordered ultrasounds, CAT scans, PET scans, and that's when we are now. We've determined I have tumors along my abdomen and my diaphragm, and so that's where we are. Chuck, how many do I have?
Four. Possibly five, but they took the two larger ones this week, and then on Tuesday morning at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines, and then so there's 2 to 3 more to watch. They had not grown since the PET scan. But it was an interesting procedure Tuesday. Dr. Olaf Kaufman, who is a intervention radiologist, who, you know, those kinds of people typically do biopsies, and that's what he did, was he went in with long needles into Carla's midsection, and he actually froze two of those tumors, the two more dangerous ones that were starting to make her a little uncomfortable, and froze them and killed them, and then... they call it debulking them. And so now the regimen will probably be, Carla, go ahead and speak to this.
Well, we're now planning on, we are going to try some chemotherapy just because we're out of options. We can't really go in and surgically remove the ones I have just because they're in so many, near so many vital organs. And so Dr. Hill has done quite a bit of research, and we've done some genetic testing of my cancer tumors to find out what cancer drugs work for other cancers that match the tumors that I have, even though it might be a breast cancer or a pancreatic cancer. Whatever drugs might be working for those might work for me. So we've looked at those. We have one option available to us. And then we decided, and it was just the stars aligned for us, and we were doing some research, and we found that at Vanderbilt University, Chuck's alma mater, at the medical center there, there's a woman, Dr. Barbara Murphy, who has some extensive experience with adenoid cystic carcinoma. And so we're going to go down and visit her, and we're going to go a week for Monday and see what she has to say, see if she recommends any kind of drug regimen or advice that she can give us. Then we'll come back here, and hopefully Dr. Hill will be able to work with Dr. Murphy, and we'll put a plan together that will keep those tumors small and at bay for as long as we can.
Charity, Carla said there that while chemotherapy has not been effective in curing adenoid cystic carcinoma, there has been, you know, is able to slow it down, and that's the hope, is to slow down the disease, try to get it under control and make good management and just extend her life as long as it can be happy and good and meaningful, and we're all for that, of course.
Right. And Carla, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good. Physically, you know, I just had that procedure on Tuesday. I thought it was a little bit more invasive than I thought, but I was comparing it to last year. So I've been home resting, walking outside because it's like spring.
Right.
Doing that, but I feel pretty good. I'm just glad to have done something and know that we have the first strike now.
Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with both Carla and Chuck Offenberger. They've been writing about their cancer journeys at offenberger.com, and we will continue in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I'm talking with Carla and Chuck Offenberger. Of course, many Iowans know Chuck from the many years he spent writing for the Des Moines Register as the Iowa Boy columnist. He's still writing at offenberger.com. And Carla has also been sharing her experiences at offenberger.com. They've both had more experiences with cancer than anyone should have. And Carla, I want to ask you, we were up to date now health-wise and all of the things that both of you have been through with your different cancers and going through treatment so many times, you decided that you would go public again this time to write about your cancer and share your experiences with people at offenberger.com. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, Charity, I think the first reason is I'm married to Chuck. And he goes public on everything. You know, it's kind of the family joke that if Chuck's in the room, it's going to be posted or shared or whatever. So that's the easy answer. But really, you know, we have found over the course of the last 7-8 years that we're just better for it when we're telling our story. It makes us healthier. It keeps us honest. It keeps us faithful to telling the story that other people aren't sharing necessarily, and there's no reason that everyone has to share their story. But when you do, you let people know things that they want to know that they're afraid to ask, and it just gets it all out there. We had a friend, Vid Johnson, who had cancer about the time Chuck was first diagnosed.
Iowa was Senator David Johnson.
David Johnson, and he said to his legislators, he said, "I have cancer," and he says, "and keeping the secret is going to make me sick, so I'm going to share it." And that's pretty much how we've been. And it really gets you off the hook a lot because you can say, I just wrote about it last night. you can read about it online. But we pretty much share it all, and we've just found that it's healthy for us. We think we're doing a service to other people who might be going through it, who might have to go through it in the future. But we certainly know a lot of people who are quieter about it, and that works. You know, it's just different for everybody, but
maybe,
we have the spot to do it.
Maybe it gives us a little excuse, too, Charity, because, I mean, when we find ourselves acting a little screwy or something, we can always say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I've got chemo brain."
There are so many euphemisms for dealing with cancer, for living with cancer, for fighting cancer. We've heard all of these euphemisms over the years. And one that you're using right now, Carla, is you call this your cancer dance. You're dancing with cancer. Where does that idea come from?
Well, I first heard that idea about 2 months ago now, maybe if it's been that long, when I went to a funeral of a friend who had died of cancer, Lauren Clark in Des Moines.
Lauren Smith.
Oh, sorry. Lauren Smith passed away, and they used that line in her obituary. And turns out that she had heard that line from Dr. Richard Deming, who is behind Above and Beyond Cancer. And he says that, you know, what hits you now is that you know you're going to die and you know what will probably kill you, but you don't know when. So you might as well just live every life to the fullest with passion and purpose, and you might as well make it a dance. And so it just seems, I can fight it too. I do that every day as well, but it just seems a little bit softer. And plus, it's just darn fun to know that everyone's dancing with you. And I'm not a great dancer, and neither is Chuck. So it's kind of an inside joke for us as well, but, you know, you just keep on going.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of Iowans have known you guys for so long, and long before cancer, we knew that you were joyful people, and you lived life to the fullest, and you shared that love and joy and a love of the state of Iowa with so many of us. Chuck, through all those years writing for the Register, and, you know, all those years spent on the bicycle and sharing your stories, you've also been able to maintain that kind of joy through your writing about your experiences with cancer. And, you know, you guys were just talking about, especially 2010, that year must have been
63 round trips from the farm to Mary Greeley Medical Center in Ames that year.
Wow.
And that and then there were the ones to Iowa City and to Des Moines. You know, I mean, it was a crazy year. We've referred to this charity as Tag Team Cancer, because the remarkable thing is that we've never really been sick at the same time. One of us has always been healthy when the other one was kind of wounded. And so
you take turns being the patient and the caregiver.
Yeah, really. And we push each other. We make each other get going and get out and walk that driveway or walk our gravel road out here. And the thing that I also notice as a writer myself, and Carly is too, and she's a poet, and I'm always pushing her to write more poetry, but when you're there's something about being a communicator that continuing to do that as you go through a real stiff challenge like cancer has thrown at us, it's a real lifeline. I mean, I don't have to hold this stuff in. I can write about it, you know, when I'm feeling one way or another. And that has been, it really helps us. I mean, I think it does.
I need to go on record as saying Chuck is the better patient and probably the better caregiver. He just has a patience that I can't always have for myself. So it's good to have him tell me what I'm going to eat and when I'm going to eat it, and then I'm going to walk.
So there must have been moments where things got really dark and were really difficult. Was staying positive, trying to stay positive, was that a kind of conscious choice that you made in this journey?
I don't ever remember dark, at least talking about it. I do remember Dr. Gingrich and I was sitting looking at us one day and telling Chuck before he did the stem cell treatment that he said, well, Chuck, we've got two options here. He said, we can get you in for a stem cells transplant, and I think that will add years to your life, or you could just decide to go fishing. And we looked at him, and we said, we don't fish. And so, you know, his point was, we'll just let you go your course, and you'll be passing soon. And we're like, we don't fish, so that's not an option. And I guess that's how we look at it. There's only one option here.
There, Charity, you know, when you're diagnosed with cancer, have you been? I don't know.
No.
Okay. Well, when you're diagnosed with cancer, you know, it's it's a shock at first, as Dr. Deming always says, like getting hit on the side of the head with a board. But you quickly, as you hang out in oncology wards, I mean, you quickly get over the why me's or the shock of it, because you see just how rampant and widespread this disease is. I mean, it is impacting people of all ages and all circumstances, and you see them all.
It is non-discriminatory.
It is just amazing how widespread this disease is. So there's no pity thing to it. And at any one time, I mean, we've got good, real good friends right now who are in hospice with cancer. And, you know, and that's a little rough when you're going through the disease yourself. But on the other hand, it just, it's reassuring to you, you know, that you're not in this battle by yourself. I mean, this is just, you know, it's a huge deal.
And, you know, technology and medical discoveries now are so fast and so furious.
And so expensive.
But we learned when we were at McFarland Clinic when I was doing radiation that a woman told us she was hitchhiking, and she was doing what they had available for her to do at that point so something else could come along and they could do it to save her again. She's done that for 20 years. 20 years she's just been hitchhiking through cancer. So I have two good thumbs. I can hitchhike. You know, and so that's the mentality you have to have. Otherwise, you're just going to kill yourself quicker. I'm reading a book called 50 Days of Hope. It's about just 50 days of cancer survivors talking about their stories. And just this morning, the reading said today, I could go home and feel sorry for myself, but I'd still have cancer.
You know, I think about, again, we know a lot about you guys. Iowans know you. And we know that you've led really healthy, active lifestyles. And for so many people, that feels so unfair to then have to deal with this kind of health crisis. And in your case, again and again. But I think about, you know, Chuck, when you were talking about going on that bike ride and not being able to keep up, that strength that you brought in, that physical strength that you brought into your first round with cancer, do you feel the benefit of that?
Oh, Charity, neither one of us would be alive right now if we had not been bicyclists. I mean, you know, that has saved us. It turned me, I'm almost 70, I turned 70 years old this year, and, you know, it's made me still treatable at this age and able to, with the key thing, by being in fairly decent shape, and I mean, we're no athletes by any means, but by being in fairly decent shape from bicycling and walking, it means we can, you know, we can withstand more treatment. I mean, we can handle this stuff better. And you know, needless to say, your outlook's better, you know, and feeling more hopeful and stuff. I mean, you get out on a day like today, and you got to be hopeful. So, you know, last summer, we invested in two brand new fancy fold-up bicycles that we can throw in the trunk and take with us wherever we go. And no doubt in my mind, at Vanderbilt Hospital in a week from now, we'll probably be riding our bicycles over to see the doc.
We have an email, and, you know, as I mentioned, there's so many questions when you get cancer, and the fact that you guys have both been through this. And this is from Diana, who's asking that question. I'm sure it's one you've asked yourself. She is wondering if you have any idea why you've both had cancer.
Good question.
Yeah. Do you have an idea?
Well, no, we don't. When I had been diagnosed and then we both knew we had cancer, we did the usual things. We got our water tested. We looked back to see, you know, if there was anything else we were doing. We live in the country, but we hadn't lived out in the country all that long before we'd been diagnosed. My cancer is very rare, and they don't have an answer to that question. Chuck's is more common, but, you know, cancer is just, it's just a vicious disease that we could all hope that somebody could answer that question soon, but we don't have the answer, and they're not related. It's not like we have the same cancer,
right?
And so they could say, oh wait, let's check this. It's just so totally different,
and they quickly check your genetic history and your family, you know, as far as your cancer history. And both of us and our families, the Burts and the Offenbergers, have a pretty light history as far as cancer I had a brother that had prostate cancer, but it didn't kill him. We've all been heart patients, most of us. Carla's dad had prostate, right, Carla?
Colon cancer.
Colon cancer, but, you know, not related to the cancer she has now. So, and that's probably, not, you know, no more, no less than most families have had. So, you know, you just try to live as healthy as you can to avoid it, I guess, is the best thing to say.
Well, we have this email from John, who I know is feeling what a lot of people feel. He says, Chuck and Carla's openness has helped me on my way for nearly 25 years. As a boy, Chuck was instrumental in supporting and encouraging me to be vigilant in taking care of myself and following an informed and kind lifestyle, not to mention the encouragement to keep singing. Knowing them and hearing this program this morning has reinforced the love that Chuck showed all those years ago. They're both extra special Iowans and two of the best humans that I've known. What an inspiration.
That's gilding the lily.
I'll remind Chuck of that later today when he's irritated because I want something that I can't do myself.
But we'll take that. And the truth is, you got to love life. I mean, we are still having a good time. We're still wildly in love with each other, and we intend to stick around and have a lot more fun. So, don't anybody give up on us. We're going to be leading you off on some crazy adventures here.
Well, we got an adventure coming up. We have a trip planned to Cuba.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, when are you going?
It's into March for 7-10 days.
Through Carla's church in Des Moines, Plymouth Congregational. And our doc, the doc who did the procedure too, the Dr. Olaf Kaufman at Iowa Methodist, he said, well, what's your schedule like this spring? And we said, well, we've got this trip planned to Cuba, and we said, we really want to go. And he said, well, we're going to get you there. He says, we're going to make sure you're there, because that's exactly the kind of things you need to be doing.
Well, and I was just going to ask you that. What are your plans for the future? I know you have to work on being healthy, but I also know how much you love your grandkids and so many other things. What are your plans?
Well, it's interesting because everyone says, you got to live life to the fullest. And I answered this question the other day. I'm like, well, I don't really know what the answer to live life to the fullest is, except for when I wake up, I'm planning on eating chocolate.
And
then you have to just do what you think you want to do without thinking about it too long. You know, we plan, we'll save money for that, and then we'll do that. And I think now it's just, by God, if it's on our list, we're getting it done.
You know,
you have to work. You have to pay bills.
Charity, honestly, the college baseball season opened last night. And Vanderbilt, we love Vanderbilt baseball. And I'm telling you, it is a total coincidence that we're going down to see this adenoid cystic carcinoma expert at Vanderbilt Medical Center. It's a total coincidence that that also is a home opening series of the baseball season at home at Vanderbilt.
Are you sure that's a coincidence?
Honest to God, it is.
You should be embarrassed even to confess that. But he didn't get it by me. The minute he told Dr. Hill the dates that would work best for us, I looked at him and I said, Bandy's at home, aren't they?
So as people are listening to you and the people who go to Offenberger.com and they read about what you're going through and they've followed this journey, what do you want people to learn from what you've experienced, Carla?
Oh, wow. I'll let Chuck take it first.
Well, one thing I'd say is give yourself the permission to be afraid. You know, it's going to be, there's going to be things to be worried about and fear, but try to feel God's hand on your shoulder and carry on and live that meaningful life that Dr. Deming talks about. Live with purpose, live with passion, live the kind of life you've always wanted to live. And that's our aim now. And we'll be there to comfort and console and take care of each other at the end, whenever that comes. Meantime, we're not going to sit around and let that ruin our lives now. We're going to have a heck of a lot of fun between now and then.
Carla, you want to add anything?
I think it's hope. I think there's always hope.
Well, thank you both for talking with me today.
Well, you bet. It's been fun. It's always fun talking to you, Charity.
Well, Charity, you were the first one who responded to when I wrote about the cancer the first time. So you're right on top of it, too.
Well, you guys are an inspiration for so many of us. And thank you for your generosity and your honesty. And then we'll talk again when you guys are both healthy and strong again.
Be on the bikes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck and Carla Offenberger, you can read their work at offenberger.com.